Well, good morning. I am still hacking a bit, so if you don't want to shake hands with me, understand. Being the good husband I am, in my thoughts, I passed along what I had to my wife, and she is really in the throes of it this morning, feeling pretty ugly. I don't know what she feels like. So thank you for praying for us, remembering her. It hangs on. I don't believe I'm still passing it around. So whatever it is, don't get it. Appreciate your prayers in regard to all of it, and thank you much. We'll work our way through it. Last Sunday, if I had come, I really thought I could, and I thought I was getting over it, but Sunday morning was the worst. So here we are anyway. All right, we've been thinking about Peter, right? Preaching about Peter, of the sermons of Peter. He preached there in Acts, and we read one of his sermons. And from out of his preaching and out of his ministering the things of the Word of God, and out of the things that happened in his life through the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote the books of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. And so we've been looking at them and thinking about Peter's obedience after his great failure. Great reminder to each one of us that before the Lord, without Christ, we're nothing but failures. So we've been covering this material with the idea that we will grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as we live godly in a crooked world that looks at us as if we're very strange people. We're kind of like, I have on one of my fingers a bump that just keeps coming back, and it gets hung up and it peels off. And it bleeds, and I cover it, and then I go through the cycle again for a few months. And it don't belong. Whatever it is, it's foreign to the body. Don't belong there. And so it is with believers. It's like, boy, we're strange people in this world. It's kind of like, you don't really belong here. You don't fit in. Well, we don't want to fit in. We want to be that identify and fit with Christ and have our identity with him. So we're looking at Peter and his writings, his sermon, so we can help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord in this crooked world. And also we're hoping that these things we're looking at will kind of savor up our taste buds for the Word of God, and we'll desire to taste and see the Lord is good, his word and all that's there. And so we'll be more like Jesus. Is that our desire each day? You know, as we get going into the day that's before us, whatever might be there, that we would be thinking, I want to be a bit more like Jesus today. Jesus lives in me. I want to be more like the one living in me in this dark world in which I live. And then also, we're covering this material so that we'll be convinced and convicted, emboldened, if you please, to give out the Word of God and to present it and to give it forth. I think it was Friday, got one of those calls. Hey, can you? I help a few Amish folks travel around, and I wouldn't do it except I get the opportunities to witness to them. Last week I got the opportunity, was it last week? I don't remember, maybe week before, to witness to them about the return of Christ. I went to a funeral with them, took them, and waited, and wasn't a funeral, a wake. And one of them said, I said to them on the way home, now tell me, what do the Amish believe about life after death? And it was just as quiet as can be in my van. And they often don't answer me, these folks, gracious folks. But finally, the man said, well, I don't know that I really know. Now, I thought, now here, this is the second funeral I've taken them to. And they said they have no idea what happens after death. So I just kept my mouth shut, right? I had a captive audience for about 20 minutes. And I said, now, you do know the Bible says, and I'd give a verse on the resurrection and Christ, what Christ said. And I said, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. And that's our point, isn't it? The Bible says. It isn't I say, our church says, though we trust what we say and our church says, they coincide, of course, about what the Bible says. And so yesterday taking this I got this call, would you take us? I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to take him, but I said, okay, give him a ride to the Green Dragon, if you know what that is and where it is. And the lady said, I want to show our Japanese friend where our daughters work. And so I said, okay. So I gave him a ride, and this lady from Japan who speaks very little English, I got to meet her and talk to her, and when we got to get out of the van, she got to get out. I said, here, I'd like to give you a gift. What do you think I gave her? Gospel of John. I said, you like this little book. You like to read, I understand. And I had another tract that kind of narrowed down the plan of salvation in it for her. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I pray that you'll read it and the Word of God. We depend totally upon the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God as we give it out. We have that task, that responsibility. Be ready to share the Word of God. Be ready to give it out. Have it available. So I carry some Gospels of John in the car, and some by the door in the house, and some in the van. And I'm not perfect at it, believe me, and have that opportunity. So we're encouraging ourselves as you think of Peter's boldness. We read about that in Acts 4, the boldness that the people there, the church had to talk about and display the things of Christ. And we want to be doing that. Well, today we're going to come back to Acts 4 in a few minutes, but right now I'm going to take you to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. We started this study back in March, so if we hurry, we'll get it done this year. Maybe not. I'm not going to be here for a few weeks. You won't have to suffer under me, but just Earl. And 3, 1, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. My home church is having its 200th anniversary. So we hope we're planning to make it for that, and appreciate prayers on that. But today I want us to focus upon a wonderful little statement that is just glorious to our lives, and we're so thankful for it. And 1 Peter 5 in verse 10, Peter, as he begins to conclude this letter and get these last words in this letter of 1 Peter, he says, but may the God of all grace, I'm going to just stop there and use that, the God of all grace. What a beautiful little phrase, the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10. It's just beautiful, really. It's very simple, the God of all grace. My, how profound, the God of all grace. Eloquent, and you think through it, and you ought to write it out and think about it. The God of all grace. Such wording only occurs here in the New Testament. It's not by the great apostle Paul. He talks about the God of all comfort, but he doesn't use this phrase. Yes, he talks a lot about grace. Peter says, the God of all grace. It's not in the Gospels, and it's not by James. It's here by Peter's lips. as most likely he's languishing in a Roman prison, awaiting death, believing and telling and using his last bits of strength to write to believers that are under great persecution, as he is under the persecution of the Roman powers. And because he's preaching and teaching the gospel, he's in jail. And as he is there, here's how he ends his letter. He just doesn't say, woe is me, oh man, things are tough. He says, the God of all grace, a phrase to fall in love with, spoken from out of the heart of a man who learned by experience the words that Christ had said from his lips of his great grace. And Peter's testifying of it. It's your testimony too, you know. It's our testimony from our lips. He's the God of all grace. We are each one examples of how the God of all grace has graced our hearts and lives with eternal life when we have believed on Jesus as our Savior. Peter could not stop writing about the God of all grace. There's much with regard to it in the book of 1 Peter. And I would direct your attention to a couple of three, four verses out of the many that are here. So if you'd find your way back to the first chapter of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and a little journey through the book of Peter writing about the grace of God. And chapter 1 and verse 2, right at the very end of the verse, I'm just going to the very end of the verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. What does he say? Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace to you. If there's anything we need in our lives day by day, it's the God of all grace. And we need to think about our lives day by day and the great grace of God that's taking place in them. You know, the greatest grace of God is this: if you know not Christ as Savior, it's the grace of God that's allowed you to be on this earth another day and not in hell. That's God's great grace. Every day here is a great day of grace when we know Christ as Savior. But also every day here's a great day of grace when you know not Christ. God's being very gracious to you. Another day to consider him whom to know is life eternal. Consider him who died on the cross, not just to die, but he gave his life for sinners, the likes of us. The grace of God. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he puts it this way: of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully and prophesied of the grace that was to come to you. As the Old Testament looked at Christ and presented Christ set forth all that was to come by this, the prophet of prophets, the King of Kings. They prophesied of the grace that was to come. Grace is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And same chapter down in verse 13. Where we are told, 1 Peter 1:13, you and I are to gird up the loins of your mind, fill up our hearts and minds with the things of the Word of God, then be sober, that is, be under the control of the things of the Word of God, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you by the revelation and the revealing of Jesus Christ. Great grace. I'm going to push ahead because of time. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10, here's what we read. As each one of us received a gift, minister it to one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm thinking on that verse today and going to spend a little bit of time there with regard to it. But listen, before I do that, it's your turn. What's a verse that's a favorite to yours of yours that speaks about the grace of God? You can read it. You can quote it. You can remember some of it. You can say, it's in there someplace. Like the can of soup, you know. What's in there? Well, everything. So what? Come on, what are you? Start out. Someone's got to give a verse on the grace of God.
I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah, can't be better grace than that, right? Yeah. Hebrews, right? The book of Hebrews. Yeah. Anything. Got grace in it or thinking of the grace of God?
John chapter 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus.
Yeah. A reminder. I don't know about grace. You study the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Keep us going. Well, got started. Don't let me down. Come on. Yep. Other one. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Another. Speak right up. Yeah. A gift from God. Yeah. Yeah. Grace of God. Got another one? You said, I always wanted to say something in church. Here's your opportunity. On grace. I know there's more than three verses we've heard. You think, well, if I give verses, that preacher will just preach longer. Or maybe I'll preach shorter if you give more verses. Anything on grace? Yep. Okay. Okay. Hoping that one would come up. His grace is sufficient for me. Yeah. Yep. We don't think about grace enough, you know. I really don't think we do. Having some great Sunday school lessons, Nan's teaching on the book of Romans, you know, and the righteousness of God and the great grace God in sending His Son and the wonderfulness that we have to know Him. One right here close by, you know, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5. He speaks there in the verse about, but He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace. God's the giver. He gives grace. Every moment is a time of grace. Each and every breath we take is of the grace of God. And then as believers, when we die, we take our last breath here and we take our first in glory, and it's all about grace. The grace of the Lord. God, the Holy Spirit, is teaching us by way of Peter, of the grace of the God of all grace. And if you would just look while we're right here in Peter at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. I read it a moment ago, 4:10. As each one has received a gift, God gives to the local church through those who have become the believers of it. He saves sinners. He's given gifts. They use those gifts. They've come from God to carry on the work and the ministry of the church. And we could speak on that, but we're not going to. He says in verse 10, minister it to one another, those gifts God has given you. Take and use them. And we're to do them as a good stewards of the manifold or the many-folded grace of God. We're to take them, and God, who wants the gifts He's given us to be freely used within the church. He has taught us that. You remember as a kid, or maybe you've done it more recently than being a kid, you would take that piece of paper and make a fan out of it. How many did that? How many remember? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm going to make one. I wish it was a very, very hot day so you could say, I wish I had a fan. But I'm going to make one. And you look at that verse, and it's kind of talking about that, you know, the manifold or the many-folded, the many different aspects of the grace of God. And the emphasis is, it just goes on and on. Every fold you unfold, there's another item with regard to the grace of God. You can make a fan and you could write on every single fold something of the grace of God. And you could not make a fan big enough. But that's the picture that we have here. The manifold, the many folded, every fold unfolds something with regard to the grace of God. And Peter reminds me and you that each person who belongs to a body of a local church, thinking back to the many years ago when I became a member of the local church that is there and preaching the gospel today, has been for 200 years. And when I went through a membership class, talked to some of the men of the things of the Bible, what I believed and my faith, and then as I was baptized and the church voted for me to become part of the church, I remember that some about 62, 3 years ago when that took place. And made me a part of the church so I could do what I could by the gifts God has given me, as we look at, again, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. God says he has, therefore he has given each one some ministry talent in the church to do the things of God and the working of God within that church. And so... So we put our lives on service for him and that which he has given us to do. We say, I've been given by the grace of God the gift of redemption, of salvation, of the gift of believing on Christ. And it is a great gift from God, a free gift given to us, and the great joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, I have the gift of eternal life. But it's more than that that's being spoken of here. It's not restricted to that, but it is that of abilities given, and we are those that display that manifold grace of God that he has given us. Yesterday I tried to get to a funeral of a pastor friend. First, I met him when he was a teenager, and then I mentored him a bit in his early years of pastoring, passed away from ALS, Lou Gehrig disease, horrendous disease. But he planned his funeral, wrote it out, who he wanted to speak, what he wanted sung, and so on. And so I headed up 81, and I got just a little bit up beyond Scranton, making good time, and all at once there was this sign, there's an incident ahead. Now, that's just a way of saying this big accident went on. And so 2.5 hours I sat in traffic, and so didn't make the funeral service, but got there just in time as folks were headed to the cemetery. So hooked a ride with someone I know and got to hear that part of the service and see the family. But I was thinking about him this man, he pastored my home church for about 25 years. And he was just what I would call a plugger. He just plugged away. Way out in the country, stuck by the stuff, used the talent, the ability, the gift God had given him, and set forth a testimony of the grace of God. And I know as a church here prays about, and you labor in prayer thinking, God, who do you have and we'll have, and we want the right man, we want the one you prepared and readied, and so on. And while it is true, we do believe God does give particular ministries, gifts to certain ones to be pastors. You know, might be often God gives one who becomes a pastor many gifts or abilities, talents, so as to carry on the work, you know, as preaching and teaching and counseling and evangelism and administration and so on and all that is there. However, God grants not only to leaders his great grace to work in the church, but to each and every one that's a part of it. There's a job, a ministry. He equips each one for the task. And so people in the church, we should never be content to say, I don't have to do anything, or there's nothing for me to do, or whatever it might be. But we ought to be saying, what can I do? What can I do? Let me do it. Let me do it. I want to be there. I want to take care of it. I want to help. I want to be one that helps to build up the work and strengthen the church and to make it all that it can be and is supposed to be for God, for his work. God's great storehouse, I'm a part of it, and I want to bring forth great work with regard to it. It all comes by way of the grace of God that's been given. As we mentioned, 1 Peter 5, there at the end of verse 5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God, such a great giver, gives grace. God of all grace. You know, that grace takes in mercy. The God of all mercy. That grace takes in the love of God, God of all love. That grace, one of the words on that many-folded grace of God, takes in the peace of God, takes in the remission of sins, and it takes in the peace of God and with God. And as you fold it and think down through it, it takes in patience and joy. Takes in grief and comfort, takes in health, takes in our next meal. Everything about it has to do with the grace of God. So the God of all grace, the term grace, is all comprehensive. It totally takes in everything, the grace of God, totally comprehensive. And so we're thankful for the grace of God. The God of all grace, and God alone is the source. God alone is the possessor, and God is the giver of grace. The next breath we take, that's a grace of God. The strength we had to stand up in the pew to sing, that was the grace of God. The grace of God is out of which strength we have to help someone else. The grace of God is that great desire in our heart to be together and worship others. Everything's of the grace of God. We sing the song, what is one of them? Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Or we sing Amazing Grace. Or we might sing, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. We don't sing that too often. It takes a lot of deep voices to sing it. But with that, you can actually sing it, oh, the grace, the deep, deep grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a song, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, said, the title of it is, Your Grace Still Amazes Me. Does God's grace still amaze you? Are you amazed at God's grace every day? Your grace still amazes me. The song went on to say, Your love's still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees because Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. And I trust it does for you, and it's not something that kind of, we get involved in so many things and so much stuff going in our life that we really get blinded to the grace of God and who He is, the God of all grace. Think on it, the God of all grace. Remember the all in the verse, the God of all grace. That's all grace for today. And you sat up in bed this morning, did you say, boy, I got it today, the strength to get going. Now you said, I got the grace of God to get up. The grace for the day. As you move along through life, as things happen this week, the grace of God. Grace all along the road to glory. The many-folded grace of God. Grace to die by. Grace to spend all eternity with the Lord. Grace is summed up in the word Jesus. Summed up, but in the word Jesus. Now I'm going to take your attention back to what Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 4. Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 4, if you would please, in your Bible. And when you come down to verse 20, Acts 4 and verse 20, Peter says this, Acts 4 and verse 20, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Talking about the things of Jesus and the things that has been taught and the things that are with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And is that the same for you and I? I can't keep my mouth shut about Jesus. I must be ready. I got to speak the things which I've seen and heard. And then he talks about, remember, he gets threatened, verse 21, Acts 4:21, and they go away. Peter leaves, and the rest that are with him, and they go away glorifying God. And we find them in verse 23. Verse 23, where do they go? Where do these the apostles go? And Peter go? They go to fellow believers. They didn't go to McDonald's to get a hamburger. They didn't say, boy, we're tired. We're going to go to bed. No, they went and they found their companions. They found the people of the church where they were. And they told them. They went to the place of grace, the life of grace in believers. And there they pressed on for the namesake of the Lord. The church, verse 24, when they, verse 24, and when they, that's the church, heard this, they raised up their voice to God with one accord to the Lord. And you are the God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in it. And they give glory to the Lord. They worship and they praise His name. And all was against Christ. But Christ taught them how to stand boldly in the midst of opposition to him. And look at verse 29. Would you look at verse 29 with me? Chapter 4, 29. They said, "Now, Lord, look on their threatenings." Others are threatening us because we're talking about the Lord. It says, "Grant to your servants that with all boldness we would keep our mouths shut." Right? That with all boldness we'd ask the government to intervene. That with all boldness we'll just keep in our own little huddle together. No, they said, with all boldness, they said, they're praying actually, "Lord, grant we'd have the boldness to speak your word. We'd not be ashamed of the grace of the Lord Jesus." And they prayed that way, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And what did they begin to do? They spake the word of God with boldness." They prayed about it. "We need boldness," they said. "We want to keep going for you. We want to be a people of grace who graciously gives out the word, and it takes some boldness to talk to others about Christ, and we need some boldness, and Lord, give us the boldness that we need." And it says that they did. They spoke the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken, you know. We all need a little shaken up of one kind or another once in a while. And it wouldn't hurt us to be shook up a little bit. Verse 33 tells us what they did. You see the verse? Verse 33 says, "With great power," might even mean authority, but "with great strength, the apostles gave witness." What did they witness about? The resurrection. They didn't give witness about, "Boy, we've been in jail. We've had an awful time. We've been mistreated so badly. Everyone's been talking us down. People have been mistreating me." No, they didn't do that. They gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what was upon them? Great grace was upon them. Great grace. The God of all grace was upon them. And might we pray, God, give us a great boldness to speak your word, which means we're going to be ready to declare your word, to give it out. We're going to have in our mind, we're going to think about how I can give out the word of God. God, give me an opportunity as I go here and I go there to give out the word of God. If you're like me and my wife, I remember I asked, when I retired a few years ago, I asked somebody, "What do you do when you're retired?" And the answer was what? "You go see doctors." And we have our share. But I just see it as an opportunity to witness to folks. There's always someone sitting there, waiting, sitting around. I say, "Here's a great little book to read. The greatest little book ever written. Give them the Gospel of John." And be ready. You got to be prepared, though. Pray for boldness before you go, and then open your mouth and speak of the Lord. And it's all because of the grace of God. God's given us something that's worth talking about. You don't want to go to the doctor's office and say, "Boy, to the one next to you, talk about politics." If you want to be depressing, you know. Or you don't want to go there and talk about something else going on in the world that's going to change tomorrow. You want to talk about something that makes a difference for eternity. You want to give out something that's really going to change a life. You need to maybe remember the first time someone ever shared the gospel with us, or we ever heard the gospel, or whatever, And they went out here, it tells us in Acts, and they talked about the resurrection of Christ. That's the pattern for us. We talk about Christ. Great grace. Our Father, use us for your namesake